Before I get started, I want to just wish all the fathers that are here a happy Father's Day. So I hope that you have a fabulous day, and may the Lord bless all the fathers who are in our midst this morning. I want to go over some passages that I talked about last week, and hopefully I'll be able to finish all four reasons of why it's important for children to obey parents. I started last week. I didn't get done with them, but I want to highlight them one more time because I think they're important for us to know. So bear with me as I go through these verses. I'll try to get through all of them as best I can. But I just pray for God's blessing as I go through these particular verses. Let me open us up in prayer this morning. Father, we are so thankful to be gathered in your holy and glorious presence, Lord. I pray that you will just enlighten our hearts and our minds, Lord. Help us just grasp your word. Help us to know how important it is as fathers and as mothers to bring up our children, Father God, in the ways of the Lord, to teach them obedience, Lord, from an early age, Father. We just pray that we ourselves will be obedient to you in all our workings and all our doings, oh Father God. Help us to just draw nearer to you this morning and every morning, Father God. May we just delight to be in your presence, oh Lord. We just praise you and give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So again, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen. So, last week we talked about these verses, and I want to highlight them one more time. Is a child's obedience necessary? Yes, it is. Says who? Says God. Very important for a child to learn to obey. Their obedience to parents is, in fact, their submission to Christ. If they're not submitting to the parents, oh, you can rest assured, they're not going to submit to Christ. It's all part of their discipleship training. And this training doesn't begin in the church. Discipleship training for children who are Christians begins at the home, and it begins at a very early age. And we learn this by looking at the Old Testament. I'm going to go real fast I'm going to jump ahead, and I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and read verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Notice this, upon your hearts. Not in your head, in your heart. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Very important. Discipleship, even going back to the old covenant, to the old law, it began right there at the home. Didn't begin in a certain meeting every Sunday once a week. No, it took place every day, and it took place right there at the house. That's where discipleship began. So when Paul, he's talking to, and I know that some of us here might be thinking to ourselves, well, you know what? I'm a father, but I don't have kids in the house. My kids, they've grown up, they moved on, so I no longer have that responsibility. But hold on, not too fast. Because if you go to Deuteronomy, there's a couple of verses there that speak not only to fathers, but he speaks to grandfathers, to grandmothers. And there's one in particular that I'm going to read real fast, and I'm going to read it from the New American Bible because I kind of prefer that rendition. It's a little bit better than the New International Version because it captures what I'm trying to say here. So for you grandfathers who don't have children, they've all moved on. However, you now find yourself that you have grandchildren. This is what the Bible says about you granddads. It says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. Make them known. So you think, you know, I'm a granddad, job's complete, it's all done, kids are gone, it's an empty house now, it's just me and my wife. No, if you have grandchildren, the work of family ministry, discipleship training, Well, it continues, Granddad, Grandma, it's not over yet. You're almost there, but not quite. So this family ministry, this discipleship that God has given us for our kids, it continues. And by the way, I was reading from Deuteronomy, in case you're interested, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. That is what I read, in case you want to go through it later. But it's important because as Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers, again, he's writing, for the most part, to Christian families, to Christian moms, to Christian dads, and to Christian children. That's who is penning the letter to, specifically to kids. Now, can you go back? Can you go to Ephesians, please? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, please. So again, children, obey your parents. Now, presumably, these young ones, these youngsters, are old enough to understand that they have a relationship with Christ. They have a relationship with Christ. Paul assumes that you kids, you're Christians. I was there. I taught your moms, your dads. You were there every Sunday or every Saturday, whenever we met, you were there. So I know that you yourselves should be Spirit-filled kids. So you know, as Christians, that you have a commitment to the Lord too. So as Paul writes this, he's thinking to himself, you know these kids, you have a relationship to Christ, just like mom, just like dad. You're a disciple, just like mom, just like dad, and you have the same commitments that your parents have. Commitments to Christ. So they recognize that they have these commitments, and they need to fulfill the commitments too. They need to fulfill these commandments or commitments. So Paul, in these verses I just read, specifically verses 1 to 3, we know that Paul, he cited four reasons why kids should obey their parents, why it's necessary, why it's essential. And the first reason came out of this verse right here, because you are a Christian in the Lord. You are a Christian in the Lord. That's why you are required to obey. Firstly, because you are a Christian just like mom and dad. If your mom and dad are required to submit to one another and they're required to submit to the Father, to the Lord, so are you, children. You need to submit. You need to submit to the Lord. So this right here, this is the first great duty that God directed toward the children. The first commandment to kids. Kids, you will obey your parents. That is, Paul being inspired by the Holy Spirit, giving a commandment to kids, specifically to Spirit-filled kids. And again, the obligation, you are a Christian in the Lord. See, when you read that verse right there, in the Lord, that right there, that is the motivating phrase right there. In the Lord is the motivating phrase. It's synonymous with the phrase, as to the Lord. Remember earlier when Paul spoke to the wives, and he told the wives, wives, submit to your husbands, for your husband is the head of the family, and you submit as to the Lord. It's the same concept here, the same understanding. So Paul might as well have written here to the children, children, obey your parents as to the Lord. The same understanding. The same way a wife submits to the Lord, children, submit to the Lord, as to the Lord. When you submit to your parents, you're doing it as if you're submitting to the Lord himself. That's why obedience is very important for a Christian child. Very important. And again, we talked about this phrase, this motivating phrase, in the Lord. Why? Because in the Lord, it indicates the station of the Christian child. This is his position, his status. This is where he is now in his new life in Christ. In his new life, he is now in Christ. Previously, not in Christ, but now his new station in life is in the Lord. He's in the Lord. Also, this phrase, in the Lord, describes the quality of his obedience. It has to be a good obedience. Why? Because as if unto the Lord. It can't be a mediocre, half-hearted obedience. No. We kind of saw that when you go back to the prodigal son. Remember? The father had two sons. And one was a prodigal. And the other one wasn't. But the other one was kind of like a Pharisee. But they both had problems with obedience. But here Paul says, remember, children, you have an obligation. Your station in life, that you are in Christ, the quality of your obedience should be high. Why? Because your obedience it's as if unto the Lord. It has to be a supreme type of obedience. And also, this in the Lord statement, this motivating phrase, it defines the boundary, the divine territory where all this obedience takes place. This, all the obedience of kids, of moms, of dads, this obedience for God, it all takes place within the sphere of being in Christ. Being in Christ. Because that's where we live, isn't it? We live as Christians in Christ. Not a moment where we're outside of Christ, but we're always in Christ. So that is a sphere of all obedience. It takes place right there. For the children, for mom, for dad, for the entire congregation, for the church. Right there in Christ. So in the Lord, it represents basically our operating environment. That's where we operate. That's our operating environment. That's our standard operating environment, to be in the Lord. This is where all life, and especially family life, takes place. Right there in the context of in the Lord. And we should know this too, that in the Greco-Rome world, in the Greco-Rome world of Paul, in the time of Paul, okay, kids were mere property. They were chattel. They were like real estate for the father. That's all they were. The father, he could do as he pleased with the kids. For the most part, he could do as he pleased with the wife as well. It was pretty hard in those days. Paul understood that. That children, right there in Ephesus, and not only in Ephesus, but in the Greek-Roman world, it was hard for kids. Is life hard for kids today? Absolutely. It's very difficult for kids today too. It's even more difficult when they have no training in righteousness whatsoever, when they're not being discipled by anyone, not even the parents. Very difficult. It was difficult back then. It's even difficult now. Because if you don't disciple your children, someone else is going to disciple them. And they may not be discipled very well. They may be discipled in a way that dishonors God and that dishonors you, the parent. So we need to understand that obedience, discipleship, training in righteousness, all that is very, very important. Very important. But the gospel, because we always look back to the gospel. It is the gospel that gave children a whole new standing before God. A whole new standing. Before the gospel, children were just, again, mere property, real estate for the father. But when the gospel came, children received a new standing with God and a new standing with the parents. So what Paul is writing to the Ephesian parents, what they're reading here and seeing here to them, this is revolutionary because no one ever gave this kind of attention to the children. Never. This wasn't the deal for the parents, or for the kids rather. No, not at all. So this is something new, something novel, something revolutionary that now Paul is telling the Ephesians, this is how you're to deal with kids. And kids, you're required to obey. You're required to obey your Christian parents. It's absolutely important. So we know the gospel, because the gospel changed everything. It changed the family structure. It went back to how it wasn't in the very beginning. And when I read this, I always remember of Galatians. One of my favorite verses in Galatians. They talk about the gospel because it changed everything. It says, but when the fullness of time came, remember that? When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And he was sent to those who were born under the law to redeem them and so that they might receive the adoption of sons. So that adoption, the gospel came, Christ came. When moms received the gospel, they received adoption as daughters. When fathers received the gospel, they received adoption as sons of God. And when children received the gospel, they too received adoption as sons of God, as children of God. So it's the gospel. It's Christ and what Christ did on the cross that changed everything around. So as we're looking at these verses, we don't lose track of what Christ did, because all this is because of the workings of Christ. Because of the atoning work of Christ. Because there was a time when we hear these words, but when the fullness of time came, Christ came and changed everything around. So it is Christ. When we read this verse, the children obey your parents in the Lord. They weren't always in the Lord. We weren't always in the Lord, but now they are in the Lord, and that changed everything for kids. It gave kids, it conferred upon children a new dignity, a new worth, a new value that they didn't have before, but now they have it. Why? Because of their status in Christ. Because of their status in Christ. So this changed everything. So the first reason, because you are a Christian. You weren't before, but because you are now a Christian, a son or a daughter of God in the Lord, obey your parents. That is the first reason why Paul says, this is what you need to obey. And the second reason is like this, because obedience is right. Because obedience is right. For this is right. That's what it says right there. For this is right. Genuine obedience, genuine, true, unadulterated obedience is a distinguishing mark of the child of God. Of the child of God. Someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. So obedience is right. Why? Because it honors God. Obedience is right because it is the will of God. Obedience is right because He designed it like that for the working of the parent-child relationship. This is His divine blueprint. This is the way it should work. It can't work any other way because it is right. He designed it, and He designed it what? For the welfare of the child. He designed it for the welfare of the child. He designed it for the good order of the family. And He designed it for what? For the greater community of God. Because without obedience, all that falls apart. Without obedience, the child, he's going to go in the wrong direction. Without obedience in the house, that family is going to have disorder. Without obedience in church, these kids are going to run rampant all over the place. And that is going to disturb the peace. You're going to have chaos everywhere. Obedience is good for the child, for the parents, for the family, for the church, for everyone. It's a reason why this is a divine blueprint. That's the way it needs to be. There needs to be good order. He begins with training the child. Obedience is right. Can you go to Hosea chapter 14, verse 9? It says here, who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. The ways of the Lord are right. So either children walk in the ways of the Lord, and if they don't, they're going to stumble in rebellion. But that applies not only to children, it applies to moms and dads, to single, to everyone. To understand that the ways of the Lord are always right. And this blueprint He gave us for parents, for children to obey, that divine blueprint, it is right. And it is from God. And it is a good thing. It is a holy commandment. It is something children must do. That's why it says obedience is right. For this is right. It is the will of God to do this. And we need to understand this too. Obedience should start early. Why? Because rebellion starts early. It takes no time for a little child when he's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for rebellion, for the sin nature to start kicking in. And rebellion will start very, very early, and it's going to start naturally and automatically. But you know what's not going to start naturally? Obedience. When rebellion starts, obedience needs to be taught immediately. Otherwise, you'll have disobedience all over the family. You don't want that. Understand. The kids, they're born with a sinful nature, with a fallen sinful nature. Yes, they're cute, they're lovable, they're huggable and all this, but they also have a sin nature. They can be tyrannical too. Kids, they can command the whole family if they just run wild all over the place. Obedience is necessary, absolutely necessary. And how will a child obey a God that he or she has never seen when that child can't even obey the mom and the dad that he or she sees every single day? How? He sees mom and dad, doesn't obey him at all, but now he's expected or she's expected to also obey a God that he hasn't seen or she hasn't seen? No. Discipleship, training, it's required. So we need to understand this too, that all spirit-filled children, they're this, they're young Christian soldiers. Little Christian soldiers, not adult Christian soldiers, but little Christian soldiers in the making. Okay? The first lesson any soldier needs to learn is this: to obey those who are in authority. That's the first discipline for anyone to learn, especially for a child, especially for a Christian soldier, someone who enlists in the camp of the Lord. We need to learn obedience immediately. First thing we always learn. And those of us who've been in the military, we know this. We join the military, the first thing we learn when we go in there is that we need to learn to be obedient to those who are in authority over us. Well, in the boot camp of the family, children need to learn obedience immediately to the mom and to the dad who are in authority over them. It needs to be learned immediately. Basic training for young Christian soldiers, again, begins in the house. It begins in the house. It doesn't begin in the schoolyard, in school. It definitely doesn't belong in a youth retreat somewhere many, many, many hours away from here. No. Basic training, Christian boot camp, begins right there in the home with mom and dad. That's where it begins. And especially dads, because Paul highlights that in verse 4. That fathers, you have a special responsibility here to take charge of the family, to take charge of the leading, to take charge of the training. Nowadays, we kind of tend to relegate all that to moms because we go to work, right? Fathers, we go to work. We're pretty much the breadwinners. Moms, you stay home and you raise the kids. Well, you know what? It's not like that in the Bible. God doesn't make that concession for men. You know what, fathers? You guys go to work, let your wives handle the kids and raise them up. No. God does not make that provision for fathers. Fathers, yes, you go to work, but your primary responsibility, aside from loving your wife, is this: to raise your children. Discipline your children. Make sure they're being trained up, fathers. You do that. You can't relegate that to anyone else. That is your responsibility. That is my responsibility. To do just that. Obedience in the Bible, it's a non-negotiable biblical mandate. Your kids can't negotiate with you. Well, why do I have to do this? Well, you know what? The Bible doesn't give that room. It doesn't allow anyone, especially a child, to negotiate whether to obey or not to obey. No. No provisions are made in the Bible for that. None whatsoever. Submission must be expected. Submission must be demanded. If you're the head of the house, if you're the mom, and you're co-equals with the father, it should be demanded from the child that he or she will obey. That's the way it has to be. It's all part of this parent-child dynamic. Because this parent-child dynamic, it represents an allegory. It's an allegory of our relationship, of each one of our relationships with God. As children, sons and daughters are required to obey mom and dad. Well, that right there is an allegory of me, of you, of each individual adult, that they too have the responsibility to what? To obey God. Okay? There is no, again, you can't negotiate that with God. Well, you know what, Father? God, I don't think I need to obey this particular command. But no. It's not up for negotiation. It's not up for negotiation for parents. Certainly not up for negotiation for the children either. Not at all. So we've gone to two reasons: because you are a Christian in the Lord, and because obedience is right. The third one is because obedience is commanded. It is a command of God. Bottom line, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, please. It says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." Honor your father and your mother. Here's the thing. Can you go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12? Because Paul, he just carries over from the old covenant to the new covenant. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Okay, obedience. Obedience speaks of an outward action. Anytime a child obeys, anytime any of us obey, it always speaks of an outward action. We're doing something on the outside because obedience takes place out here on the outside. But here's the thing about honor. Honor speaks of an inward attitude. honor takes place in the heart of a person. It is in the heart of a child where he begins to honor mom and dad. Okay? Out of that honor flows out obedience. So from honor in the heart, where the child loves the mom, he loves the dad, he reveres him, he respects him, he admires him. From there, honor is built in the heart. And from the heart flows out obedience. But if there's no honor in the heart, well, then nothing's going to flow out other than disobedience. Because if there's dishonor in the heart, what's going to flow out? Disobedience. So God gives a commandment, honor your father and your mother. Again, out of honor flows disobedience. Out of dishonor flows disobedience. But the commandment here for children, honor your father and your mother. Now this law right here, this particular law, because it's one of the Ten Commandments, and it's the first law in the Ten Commandments that governs the human relationship. It governs the human relationship, and it secures the fulfillment of the family. But this is the first one. This right here, getting it right in the family, governing the family right, honoring mom and dad. You get this relationship right in the house. Because once you get this relationship right in the house, well, then this right here is going to govern all the other things that follow, all the other commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. All those things follow when you get this commandment right. See, to the Jews, this commandment, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mothers, that was a lynch. To them, that was what connected the first four commandments, honoring God, to honoring your fellow man. Because if you didn't honor God, and you didn't have it right in the family, and you weren't honoring mom and dad, well, then you weren't going to get the others right either. You're going to break them all. So to the Jews, it was very important, this commandment right here, honoring mom, honoring dad, revering them, respecting them, that was absolutely important if you're going to get all the others right. Get this one wrong, and then all the other ones you're going to get wrong as well. So governing, the one commandment that governs human relationships is this one right here. Get it right, and that's why it's the very first one. The very first one that God gave is to honor your father and your mother. And from then, you flow to the others. But it begins right here. This right here says, remember, in the Lord, because when you get that part in the Lord, honor your father and mother. Obey, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because it's still connected right there to God, isn't it? The first four commandments, they're all about how we honor God. And here it says now we have to honor mom and dad in the Lord. So yes, and the way to honor the Lord is also to honor mom and dad. But you're not honoring the Lord if you're not honoring mom and dad. But you honor mom and dad, you honor the Lord. And when you honor the Lord, you can carry on and do the rest. You honor your fellow neighbors. But if you don't get that right, you get them all wrong. That's why this is very important. It was important to the Hebrew children. It was important to them when they became Jews. And now it should be important to Christians to do the very same thing. The very same thing. And once you lose the obedience in the family, it begins to fall apart. And we know that in the end times, and we're living in the last days because we kind of see the family unit being torn apart. Moms and dads and children, we kind of see the rebellion, the disobedience. And can you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2? And I'll read just a couple of verses here. And here, Paul is talking to Timothy about the end times. He said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy. But that right there, that's one of the signs that you should look at when you're starting to wonder, are things falling apart in the United States and maybe around the world? When you see disobedience taking place, moms and dads no longer being revered or respected, you know, kids, teenagers, young adults, doing as they please. No more respect. And Paul says, but mark this, That's a sign of the times right there. So very important. So obedience and honor. Can you go back, please, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2? So obedience and honor. Obedience and honor, this sums up the whole duty of the child. Obey and honor. That is your duty, child of God. That is your duty. So children, they need to be taught to learn to place a high value on their parents. They need to be taught this. Again, they're little rebels. You might think they're little angels. No, 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 no. They have that sin nature in them. They have this gene code. They have that sin code, the sin gene in them. They're going to grow up. They're going to be rebels. They're going to be disobedient because that's going to come naturally. You need to teach them. You need to teach them to place a high value on parents, to love, to obey, to respect, to revere, to admire, to care for. That needs to be taught. When a child begins to do all that, then you know that he or she is honoring mom and dad. Because when you see a child loving mom and dad, what is that? That is honor. Honor in the heart working its way out. And you see that. But if you don't see none of that, well, you know there's an issue. There's a problem there. There's a problem. And then we know this too, that a child, eventually the child is going to grow up. He's going to grow up, but he's going to leave the home. Once he leaves the home, because that happens, it's part of life, and it needs to happen. It needs to happen. That they grow, they leave the house, and at that point, they begin to live their own lives. They make their own decisions. The decisions might be good, might be bad, but they're no longer obligated to, you know, I still have to obey mom and dad. Well, you know what? At that point, they're adults. They're going to do what they think is best for them. We only hope and we only pray that they will do the right thing. But at some point, they'll be accountable to themselves and to God. And the Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and his father and go off and take a wife and make her, take a woman and make her his wife. That's how to have, it's got to happen. So obedience, is there comes a time when it kind of goes away because the young teenager becomes a young man, a young woman, they move out, they begin to make their own decisions. But this one principle about honor, that one principle never goes away. That one principle never fades away. It's always there. You will always honor your father and your mother. You may not always have to obey them because now you make your own decisions. And yes, sometimes those decisions might be better decisions, but you still honor your father and your mother. You'll still do that. All the days of your life, that's part of the parent-child relationship. You always obey. You always honor, rather. You always honor. It never ceases. So we got the third reason there. First reason, because you're a Christian in the Lord. Second reason, because obedience is right. And third reason, because obedience is commanded. And the fourth reason is this, because obedience brings blessing. Can you go to the next verse, please? Obedience brings blessing, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Again, can we go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12? Now we see this verse, and we remember that the Hebrew children, they were brought to cross the Jordan, and they're going to go invade Canaan, and Canaan, that's going to become their promised land. God is giving them that land. So here it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land. What land? The promised land, Canaan. In the land the Lord your God has given you. But now when you go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3, you see something a little bit different now, because Paul, again, under the inspiration of the Spirit, kind of changes things around there. Can you go back to Ephesians 6, verse 3? Now look at what Paul is saying under the new covenant. He says, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life in the promised land. No, no, no. There's no more promised land there. No. Now Paul says, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. On the earth. It was like, I think it was John Stott. It was a theologian, John Stott. He said, here, the promised land, it fades away. It just goes away. And he says, God's covenant people now are an international community. an international humanity, and they're all over the earth, all over the earth. And he says, their blessings are largely spiritual. We have all the blessings in Christ. We have the blessings in Christ in the heavenly places, and now we have the blessings in Christ here in the earth. So different there, right? Because before, the blessings were to be had in the promised land. But now, here, under the new covenant of God, in this particular verse, Paul says, no, that you may, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Because the church is a new humanity, the bride of Christ, and we're all over the earth. We're not looking for a promised land, because the only promised land we want is heaven, to be with Christ, to be with the Lord. That is the promised land that we're looking for. But for now, the earth, it's not our home. We're here as what? We're here as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. So this is not our home, but we're all over the earth. And Paul says, you will be blessed if you obey your father and your mother, children, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth, all the blessings of God, here on earth, to be had in the heavenly places. Very different now. Very different time. A very exciting time, a very dangerous time for kids. Very dangerous time for kids too, because the world is not a good place for kids. It's a very dangerous place, especially again, if there's no training taking place in the house. Very dangerous. So the Christian child who honors his parents can expect two blessings. It says it will be well with him or her, i.e. spiritual blessings, and he will live long on the earth. He will live long on the earth. Oh, we know that's more of a principle, because some kids, even godly kids, spirit-filled kids, don't always live long lives, unfortunately. We know that. But this is a principle. If you're honoring your mother and your father, the odds of you just living longer more favorable, that it may be well with you because it may be well with you because you honor your father and you honor your mother, and because you're an obedient child, okay, you will escape a good deal of sin. You will be able to escape a good deal of trouble. You will be able to escape situations that might shorten your life or even threaten your life. Because God says, if you're obedient, he is with you. He will protect you. He will care for you. Again, it's a principle, because we know that some live short lives. But the principle here is, if you're obedient to your mothers and your fathers, it will go well with you. And that you may live long on the earth. Again, because obedience to parents is connected to virtuous habits. When you obey your parents, there's usually a good habit. And from that habit, you learn other virtuous habits. Very good habits. And it's those habits that are conducive to making life long. But if you have bad habits, and you harbor bad habits, and you just live a disobedient life, well, then life is going to be a struggle. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be very difficult. Why? Because you're outside the will of God. It's not going to be good. Not going to be conducive to a long life. No, not at all. But honoring your mother and your father, from there you develop very good habits, virtuous habits that are conducive to a good, prosperous life. Good, prosperous life. But then again, we know this too, that life isn't measured by the quantity of the life, the longevity of the life. No, it's measured by the quality of time and the quality of experience. And what do I mean? Look at the life of Christ. The life of Christ was only 33 years, but his life was a quality of life and a quality of experience. It was a fulfilled life, because a child can live until he's 30 years old, 35 years old, and then he might go. God might call him home, might call her home. But the point is, if you're walking obediently with the parents and with God, that life should be a fulfilled life. It is what Christ says. Those who are his, he came to do what? To give him a fullness of life. Not so much 80, 90, 100 years. No, but a fulfilling of life, a quality of life, a quality of experience, a quality of time here on earth. Because that's what we all should want, to do just that. That is what the blessing is, what the promise is. So it's like this. Jesus, his life had quality. His life had a good experience. And the child, God, it is God who enriches the life of an obedient child. It is God who does that. He will enrich a child who's obedient. He will do that. But here's the thing, okay? Disobedience and sin will always rob a child of God's best. Always. Disobedience makes a child poor. It impoverishes his spirit or her spirit. But it is obedience. It is through obedience that his or her life is enriched. It is in that way that God works in the life of the person. That right there is a spirit-filled life. Someone who the Lord is actively enriching. Someone who's growing. Someone who's becoming more like Christ. But we see children sometimes, and we know, okay, that right there is a child that needs discipline because he's not going nowhere. She's not going nowhere, not growing whatsoever. And you can see that. And the world is very dangerous. I know this, that today there's a lot of filth out in the world. When you look at schools, and you look what schools are teaching even kindergartners, 6, 7, 8 year olds, teaching them what? Homosexuality, transgenderism. They tell the kids now that, you know, even though you're a little boy, you don't have to be a little boy. You can be a little girl. A little girl, you don't have to be a little girl. You can be a little boy. You can be whatever you want. And we get all these drag queens now making their appearance in schools. So we've got all these things being taught in schools, in public schools. Imagine with all this filth that is taking place in the schools, in TV, in the internet, on phones. It's all over the place. So imagine a kid, a young child, is bombarded with all this stuff 24 hours a day. And imagine now if this child is getting no training whatsoever in the house. None. No one is discipling the child. No one is teaching him about obedience, about the commandments of God, about how to live a righteous life. None of that is being taking place in the home because the dad's not doing his job. The mother's too busy. She's not doing the job. It's the world that is now indoctrinating the child. Very important. That's where we go real fast to Ephesians 6:4. That's why 6:4 is so important. That's why it was thrown here. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers and mothers, keep this in context. You can't do this if you're not spirit-filled yourself. You can't be a godly man and a godly woman, a godly father, or a godly mother if God isn't even in you. To be godly, you need Christ in you. To be a godly father, you need God in you. To properly raise your children, you need to be spirit-filled, led by the Holy Spirit. Because if he's not there, then you won't be there either. Doing this out of your own sheer energy, your own effort, it's not going to work. This is the work of God. Again, this right here, this is the imperative, the commandment to do. But the indicative is what God has already done. He's already given you the Spirit. He's already given you his word. He's given you all the resources you need to make it happen. But you need to understand that yourself. You need to understand that yourself. Godly parenting is an outflow also of a spiritual life, of a spiritual life. And note the parallel here. You see a parallel, right? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Remember the first verse there about children? Children, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first one. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord, for this is right. Here, in verse, can you go back to verse 4? It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Of the Lord. Again, we're still operating where? We're still operating within the circumference of the Lord. Children, obey in the Lord. Fathers, mothers, train them up in the Lord. It all takes place in the circumference in the working of Christ. Everything. Nothing is done outside of God, ever. Not with the sons, with the daughters, with moms, with dads, with the church, with the congregation. Nothing takes place outside of Christ. It all takes place in Christ. Everything. So we see that parallel. But first here, we get the negative. We get the negative command. Do not exasperate your children. Okay? A negative command. It's given in the present imperative. Okay, what does that mean that it's given in the present imperative? It's as if Paul is saying this. Paul is saying, fathers, stop exasperating your children. Stop it. Stop now. Don't do it anymore. It was taking place. Paul knew it. Because it takes a while for moms and dads to grow in Christ. So he recognized that some fathers and some mothers were doing just this, making their children angry, provoking them without reason. And Paul says, stop it. Fathers, stop it now. That is a commandment. That is the imperative. A commandment to stop. Stop doing that, fathers. Stop doing that. So the Greek word for provoke, because it's provoke here, provocation, provoke, it always implies to move to a certain point. And here's the point. It says, don't move your child to become angry. Don't frustrate your child, your son, your daughter. Don't provoke him. Don't make him bitter, resentful, anxious. Don't do any of that needlessly without reason. Don't do that. It says, stop provoking them. Because that, what does that do? It stimulates anger, and anger festers. And when anger festers, it breeds animosity and hostility. And it's hard to overcome when you do that. So Paul said, don't do that. Don't push your kids to the point that they're going to resent you and become bitter toward you. I said, don't do that. That is not the way to biblically parent children. Not the way. Now, I have more to say. I'm not going to get it done, so I'm going to continue next week. I'm going to continue starting with this verse right here, Ephesians chapter 6:4. But as I close up, I just want us to understand this, that family government is designed to be what? To be an imitation of the way God governs, the way the father, the way the mother governs the family. Again, it's designed to be an imitation of the way God is governing his kingdom. Remember the first word, the first verse in chapter 5, verse 1? It says, imitate God. Be imitators of God. Mothers and fathers, be imitators of God. Do what he does. Children, same concept. Imitate God. How we manage the family should be a reflection of how God manages his kingdom, how he leads his kingdom, how he loves his people. The same outworking should be taking place in the home. Amen? Let me close in prayer.